We begin this evening on Yuma Daftes Omer Aleph, and as the Gemara will the Gemara itself will take us into a little bit of a history lesson, and we'll try to give some background, some very interesting chronicles of the times of the first Beis Hamikdash, the second Beis Hamikdash, which again we're introduced to in this Gemara here, Daftes Omer Aleph. Some of it is a well-known Gemara, certainly Tesamet Beis, which we'll get into next week, Bezer Hashem. Let us begin where we're up to, about seven lines down from the top of Tesamet Aleph, in the middle of the line. Omer Rabba Bar Bar Chona, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabba Bar Bar Chona tells us the names of Rabbi Yochanan, Maidich Siv, what's meant by the following Pasuk? Pasuk in Mishlei, what did Shlomo HaMelech intend to mean with this Pasuk? Yiras Hashem, Toysif Yomim. One who has fear of Hashem, Tosif Yomim, his days will increase. Ushnois Rashoim, and the years of the wicked ones, Tikzarna, will be cut short. What did he have in mind with this pasuk? Says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yochanan, Yiras Hashem Tosif Yomim, Zem Mikdash Rishon. This is referring to something or some people in the Bayis Rishon, the first Beis Hamikdash, Sha'omer Arba Meyes Ve'Ezer Shanim. We know it stood for 410 years. V'lo Shimshu Boi Ela Yudchas Kehanim Gedolim. And yet, over a span of 410 years, there were only, according to our version, the Gemara at least, 18 Kehanim Gedolim. There were only 18 high priests that served in that entire time of the first Beis Hamikdash. So 410 years.
So it's about 25
per Kohen Gadol. An average of about 25 years, you say? That's an average. Not everyone was the same, as we'll see in the Bayis Shem. Okay? The first issue here, and that's Tosfos, they're here on the bottom, the long Tosfos, L'shem Shabbo Yudches Kohanim. Tosfos says, we have a different girsa. The Rivas says, not 18 Kohanim, but rather 8 Kohanim. Wow. His girsa is Shmoine Kohanim. Wow. Why? Why would he say that? He said, because if you look in the Psukim, in Divrei Hayamim, what is Divrei Hayamim? Divrei Hayamim is chronicles, it goes through all of history from Adam Rishon, the first Pasuk starts, Adam, Sheis, Enosh, it goes through the whole lineage of all of the people. And in Perek Hey, we'll read you, Tosfos actually brings it down in a little bit of a shorthand. But we'll read it from the Pesukim here in Divrei Hayamim. The Pasuk says like this, V'yoychanan hoyledes Azariah, hu asher kihen babayis asher bono shloim b'Yerushalayim. He served as the Kohen Gadol. He served as the Kohen in the house that Shlomo HaMelech built, namely the first Beis Hamikdash. So who was the first Kohen, it would seem? The son of Yochanan, who is named Azariah. So let's count Azariah. Then the pasuk continues, V'yoyled Azariah es Amariah. That's number two. V'Amariah hoyled es Achituv. Number three. Achituv hoyled es Tzadik. Number four. V'Tzadik hoyled es Shalom. Number five. V'Shalom hoyled es Chilkiah. Number six. V'Chilkiah hoyled es Azariah. Number seven. V'Azariah hoyled es Seroyah. Number eight. V'Seroyah hoyled es Yehoit Tzadik. However, Yehoitzadok holach b'haglois Hashem es Yehud v'Yerushalayim b'yad Nebuchadnezzar. We're approaching the day of Tisha B'Av, the day when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the first and the second. And prior to that, there was a wave of galus in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. And that Kohen Gadol at the time was Yehoitzadok. Therefore, Tosfos reasons that last Kohen Gadol you don't count in the list. So he's number 9, Yehoitzadok. You take him out because he was exiled, so he did not serve a sort of a full term of being a Kohen Gadol. How many are you left with?
Eight.
Says Tosfos, says the Riva, therefore change the gears to not 18, but rather 8, because this is what it seems to say in the Psukim of Yehoitzadok. And indeed, these are son, father and son, like the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Bias Mikdash, that if the son is worthy to take over the position of the father, the Kohen Gadol, like Aaron, his son took, Elazar took over, Elazar and his son took over, Pinchas, so on and so forth. If they're worthy to take over, they succeed their fathers being the Kohen Gadol. So Tosfos says we only have a list of 8, again excluding Yahitzadah because he did not serve out his term. That's the second Beis Hamikdash. We'll get to him. Yeah. Let's have patience. We're still in the 410 years in the first Beis Hamikdash. So either we have a girsa of 18, or Taisa suggests a girsa of 8. Vilna Gaon has his own pshat, he has a girsa of 12. The way he learns the psukim in Divrei HaYamim. Now, the problem is, Taisa says that in the Sifri and the Yerushalmi, they both have the girsa 18. Indeed, like our Gemara has, 18. So Taisa suggests like this. Really, go back to the psukim. How many did we count?
Nine.
There were nine, really, right? So if you want to say it's the number is 8, so we take the last one out. But really, how many were in the psukim? 9. So Taisus has an ingenious way like this. 9 Kohanim Gedolim. Everyone remembers the first Mishnah that we learned. What did they do every Yom Kippur? They would put an extra Kohanim. We'll call them the Sgan Kohanim, the one who was just in case the first Kohen Gadol can't serve out, so we have 9 plus 9 is 18. So it says, there's your 18 that served. It wasn't actually 18 different Kohanim, it was really 9 in total. But it could mean one of them became Pasul for the time being, and therefore someone else had to serve in his stead, but the next year he came back. So in total, it's 18.
Are they identifiable?
No, we don't know the names. But what's the obvious question? How many Kohanim served in the second Beis Hamikdash? The Gemara is going to say a total of 300 plus a few other ones. So Tay says it really shouldn't be 300. How many should it be?
More, 600. If you have a backup.
600, because if you want to say the number is including the Sagan, including the one who is also the Kohen Gadol on deck, so you should have to double that number. So Tay says, takes care of that. He says, no, what we're doing is like this. We're trying to contrast how few Kohanim Gedolim, how few high priests were in the first temple, and how many were in the second temple. So Taisus and the Gemara says, at most, there were 18 in the first, even if you want to include the backup, and at least the minimum amount of the second Beis Hamikdash was 300, even if you don't count the backup Kohanim. Okay, so that's in the contrast. If there's the maximum number you have is 18, the minimum number you have is 300, you see the difference between the first Beis Hamikdash, they were tzaddikim, they were righteous, Yiras Hashem Taisiv Yamim, and in the second temple they were indeed wicked people who just paid money to get into that position, and therefore they did not live long, and most of them did not even live out a full year. Did they die in Yom Kippurim? We'll get to that. There's no source that they died on Yom Kippur. Remember, we have to address also?
Yeah, how they got pulled out.
The rope. We'll talk about that too, if time allows. So that's how Taisus explains. That's how we take care of the Girsa of 18. Taisus gives another suggestion. Okay? It's a long Taisus here. Taisus gives another suggestion. How we have 18. How do you have 18? He says it doesn't mean literally in the first temple, just those who served him in the first temple, but we had Kohanim Gedolim even before the first Beis Hamikdash. When did they start? Aaron HaKohen. So it says what Taisus means is that from Pinchas, last week's Parsha Pinchas, he says, Lochein Hinini Noisin Lehez Brisi Shalom. Part of that special gift that was given to Pinchas, that there were going to be many Kohanim Gedolim that were going to come from him, his line. How many, in fact? 18. From Pinchas. From Pinchas all the way through the Beis Hamikdash, Bayis Rishon, Mikdash Rishon, that was the total of 18. That's what it means. And Taisus says, as a matter of fact, if you look in Divrei HaYamim again, before those psukim that we just started reading, it reads like this. Elazar Hailer as Pinchas. And who is Pinchas' son? No one has any idea.
It's Eliyahu Navi.
No, Pinchas was Eliyahu, if you're going to that pshat. Who is Pinchas' son? Avishua. So let's start counting. Pinchas Hailer as Avishua. Avishua Hailer as Buki. Buki Hailer as Uzi. Uzi had Zrachia. Zrachia had Moroyos. That's 5. Moroyos had Amaria. Amaria had Achitov. Achitov had Tzodek. Tzodek Achimotz. Achimotz had Azaria. And Azaria had Yochanan.
Another thing.
Yeah?
You count the rest.
And then you count the rest. The Taisa says you actually end up with 20. But you take out your Hitzadu because he went into Golus in the times of Yahyachin. And you also count that Saraya, the one before, who also went into Golus in a previous exile. There were two points of time that Nebuchadnezzar swept out groups of Jews from Yerushalayim. When they were Kohanim Gadolim. It turns out the last two Kohanim Gadolim was swept out with the Golus. That was Saraya and Yehi Tzadik. That's how Tosfos reconciles the number 18 from Pinchas all the way. His descendants were 18. Tosfos concludes that actually there were a total of, including including the second Beis HaMikdash, there's another 80, or maybe 81, 82, Tosfos says, say 83, but approximately another 80 or so in the second Beis HaMikdash who came from Pinchas, plus the 18 who came from Pinchas in the first Beis HaMikdash, which would be a total of a little bit more than 100 Kohanim Gedolim who came from Pinchas. It's interesting to note that Tosfos in Zvachim on Kuf Aleph from the Beis brings us a Sefri that actually there were 380 Kohanim Gedolim, high priests who came from Pinchas. The numerical value of the word Shalom. How much is Shalom? Shin is 300. Lamed is 30. Vav is 6. That's 336. Plus Mem is 40. How much do you get?
376.
What did I tell you?
380.
380. Well, how does that Vav look in the Torah? It's not a Vav. It's chopped off at the bottom. What does it look like? A Yud. So take out the 6. Instead of 6, put in 10. You got 380. Because Shalom is written Shalim. Yes, like Shalom. 380. So according to the Sefri, it's actually 380 who came out from him. Our Tosfos says it was more like 18 plus 80 or 81 or 82, 83. That was in the first Beis HaMikdash. And we see the Kohanim Gedolim because at most they were either 8 or the Gra says 12 or Tosfos says, or our gear says 18 at max Kohanim Gedolim in the first Beis HaMikdash.
It was not time that there was no Mishkan. It was like period of time that was not serving was not Mishkan, not Beit HaMikdash. So it was like empty time that was nothing.
Yeah, okay.
So that Kohanim was still count. The Kohanim Gedolim counted.
Well, there would have been no Kohanim Gedolim then.
No, I know.
But there was no period of time once they built the Beis HaMikdash.
No.
You're talking about before with Shiloh and Noiv and Gibbon. Yeah, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about it only in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, except for that other Pshat in Taisa that goes from Pinchas' descendants. But the simple Pshat here is that in the whole 410 years that the first Beis HaMikdash stood, there were a total of 18 Kohanim. Now let's go to the second Beis HaMikdash. We continue along this right at the wide line. The wicked ones, their years will be cut short. This refers to the second Beis HaMikdash. It stood actually for 420 years. And they served in it. More than 300 Kehanim served as the high priest then. Now, say mayhem, you have to exclude Mem Shana Sheshime Shimon HaTzadik. We're going to talk about who he was. Shimon HaTzadik served for 40 of those years. Ushmainim in 80 years Sheshime Yechonin Kohen Gadol. There was 80 years that Yechonin Kohen Gadol was the high priest. Eser Sheshime Yishmael Ben Pabi. Another 10 years. So we have how many so far?
130.
130?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, and some say you have to also add the Yud Aleph Sheshimesh Rebelezer Ben Charsim. Rebelezer Ben Charsim is also a Kohen Gadol, and that's another 11 years. How many do you have? You have 80 plus 40.
120.
Is 120. Plus 10 is 130. Plus 11 is 141. So let's figure it out. What's 420 minus 141, 279. So that means within 279 years there were 300 Kohanim Gedolim. So obviously no one made it past 1 year, and some there were two in 1 year. Comes to show you, says the Gemara, there's a Rabbi Yochanan statement here that Ushnei's Rishayim, since they were wicked people, their lives were cut short. Let's finish the Gemara. Mikan ve'elich, from here on Einini, besides those 141 years, Tzevach Hashayv, go and calculate, kolechet ve'echet lo'yhoitzi shenosoi, they did not live out the year. Not even one of them lived out the year. Many of them were tzedukim. And the main difference that Tzedukim felt that the way you do the Keteris on Yom Kippurim was not inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, rather you do it outside, you burn the spices outside the Beis HaMikdash, and then bring it in. The Ben Yoyada suggests that, after year after year after year, didn't they realize that there's not a good track record over here? Ben Yoyada says that they were Meisa Nefesh. These Tzedukim thought that Hashem is so proud of what they're doing and they have the right the method of how to do this, they're really to be Moiser Nefesh, even if I'm not going to make it, we're going to do this Keteris anyway. And indeed, they didn't live out the year. Fine. That's what the Gemara says over here. And this is this short Gemara, the difference between first base Midrash, second base Midrash.
Well, the Stuka was thinking that Rabbi Moiser Nefesh was meant direct. You shouldn't put yourself in danger. If you know that past track record shows that it's not going to turn out well.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know all the halachas of the tzedukim. If they had this drasha that
is considered kiddush Hashem
again.
They
say v'chaybem. I don't know if they have. They don't have the drasha v'chaybem elo sheyam esbem. So okay, you can't ask a kasha on them.
How did they come up with? How they decided?
Again, the way they read the psukim. They took the psukim literally. They took the psukim literally. Yeah, we're going to see more about it later. Later in the Gemara, we'll talk about the exact differences in the methods of how to do the Keteris. But I thought we should pause here for a moment and talk a little bit about Shimon HaTzadik, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, and then we have two other ones here: Yishmael ben Pabi and Rabbi Elazar ben Charsim. Rabbi Elazar ben Charsim, also the Gemara is going to, Laman Hayam Beis, I believe it is going to talk about him as well. Who was Shimon HaTzadik? So Shimon HaTzadik was as follows. After the Golus, the exile of the first Beis HaMikdash, Nebuchadnezzar sent them into Bavel for how many years?
70 years.
After 70 years, the Navi already told them it's going to be only 70 years, and then at that point they had permission to go rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. It started, it stopped, and then it restarted and finished. And Ezra, the leader of the time, was compared in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, was compared to Moshe Rabbeinu. It says that the Torah could have been given through Ezra himself. He's called Ezra HaSofer, Ezra the scribe. He was the head of the Sanhedrin. He was the leader of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the men of the great assembly, and as well he served as the Kohen Gadol. He urged the Jews to go back to Eretz Yisrael and be in the land where we were supposed to be, together with their Beis HaMikdash. Not everybody went back. As a matter of fact, there was a group that was known to not go back. Who was that? The tribe of Levi. The tribe of Levi. And because of that, he penalized them, and he says for that time, Miser, instead of giving the tithes, the Miser to the Levi, you give it to the Kohen. That's one of the things that Ezra did. But he came back with groups of Jews from Bavel, and he came to Eretz Yisrael.
Majority stayed in Bavel.
In Bavel, yeah. So he served at the Kohen Gadol. When he was Nifter, when he passed on, Ezra HaSofer, so Shimon HaTzadik succeeded him as being the Kohen Gadol. Now, the name itself is called Shimon HaTzadik. We don't have too many people that are called HaTzadik. Right? Who else do we know is called HaTzadik? Yosef HaTzadik. Good. So there's one place in the Gemara and Seder that Binyamin, Yosef's brother, is called Binyamin HaTzadik. But it's reserved for very few people. Why Shimon HaTzadik? So some suggest, we'll see a Gemara later on, Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. It's the beginning of the fourth perek, and over there it talks about the things that we do on Yom Kippurim. And one is that they drew lots. The Kohen Gadol has the two goats on his sides, and he drew lots of the wooden pieces. One said Lashem, one said Lazozel, and it was a good omen if the one that came up in his right hand said Lashem and he placed it on the right one, and the one that came on the left was Lazelzel, be thrown off the cliff. In his day, Shimon HaTzadik, all 40 years that he served, it always happened that In his right hand came up Lashem, and his left hand came up Lazozo. And after he passed on, it was not always like that. Sometimes this way, sometimes that way. And the Gemara lists in his days the Ner Ma'aravi, the one candle which they started and ended the lighting of the menorah, always stayed lit, which was a good sign that the Shekhinah rests amongst the Yisrael. That was a sign like that. It also had that when the goat that was sent out on Yom Kippurim, La'azazel, sent out to the cliff, so as soon as it was thrown off the mountain, the string that was tied on the door of Beis Hamikdash and tied to him turned from red to white. That always happened by him after his time. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Whenever whenever they sent that goat, it went down the cliff and smashed into its limbs, going all different directions like it was supposed to. After his times, what happened? It says sometimes the goat escaped.
Really?
Yeah. See that Gemara later? Yeah. Just an incentive that you should stick with us. We're only in Daf Tes, but still have a way to go. So because of this, because of all of these things, it is suggested that's why he was Shimon HaTzadik. So for 40 years he was the righteous Kohen Gadol. And we know also Gemara, I'll have to mention it now because it comes up much later, and Daf Samach Tes, Daf 69, the famous story of him meeting, it was in the year 3448 from creation, and when he met Alexander Mukhtan, Alexander of Macedonian, which you know as Alexander the Great, who basically conquered all of civilization, and he was convinced by the Kutim, who were the Shomronim living in Eretz Yisrael, he was convinced to them that the Beis Hamikdash symbolizes something against his rulership, and he should destroy them, or give permission to the Kutim, the Kuthians, the Shomronim, to destroy them. And indeed, he did give permission, and they had now the allowance to go fight against the Jews in Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash. But first, Alexander himself came to survey the situation, and the famous story that Shimon HaTzadik came dressed in the Bigdei Kahuna, in the Shmoyne Begadim, all eight garments that the Kohen Gadol wears, and went out with an entourage to greet Alexander the Great. And the famous story, he dismounted from elephants or a horse in those days, and he dismounted and he bowed, he prostrated himself in front of Shimon HaTzadik, to the great dismay of his general and his army. What are you doing? And he says, every time I go out to war, I have this image of this rabbi with a long white beard dressed in these beautiful garments, and this is the person. He's the one who gives me success at war. And of course Shimon HaTzadik said, what they're trying to do really, they took him to the Beis Hamikdash, they gave him a tour. Fine, they probably took pictures and everything, and he wanted to make a statue in there. Nah, that wouldn't be a good idea, Shimon HaTzadik said, but he sent karbonis. From then on, he used to send karbonis to the sacrifices, and they took him. And that year, everybody named the baby boys Alexander. That's how it did. That we'll see later in the Gemara. This all happened during the period of time of Shimon HaTzadik. Again, it was in the year.
Why did he give permission for the Kutim to destroy them?
Who? No, he abolished.
Oh, he abolished.
Yes, indeed, he did abolish. But if this happened,
before he went,
correct,
okay.
Correct. Yes, Shimon HaTzadik died in the year 3488. That was, just to put it in perspective, that was about 133 years before the whole Hanukkah story happened. Right, because after Alexander died, it was split up. His kingdom was split up into four, the four Ptolemies, and that's when they first started with the harsh decrees against the Jews, with Antiochus, who was one of them, but this was all after the times of Shimon HaTzadik. So this is when Shimon HaTzadik died, who took over after him? Even though our Gemara seems to say that Yochanan Kohen Gadol followed him, it can't be that he succeeded him directly, because the Gemara later in Lamed Tes Amud Beis, and it's also Gemara in the end of Menachah, says that when Shimon HaTzadik died, he appointed one of his children. It says he appointed Shimi to be the Kohen Gadol, and the brother Chaynyav is a whole story over there of who framed who, but in the end Chaynyav went off to Egypt and he built sort of his own temple over there. Some say it was for Avodah Zarah, some say it was Lashem Shamayim. Mm-hmm. Not simple over there. Those who were Kehanim who served in that temple also, and those, the Mishnah says, those who served in that temple could not then come back and serve in the Beis HaMikdash. But that was the end of Shimon HaTzadik, his life. And then we have to say, sometime later came Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Now Yochanan Kohen Gadol was also, we mentioned briefly last week that we're not sure who he is. But before we even talk about that, one reason he's called Yochanan Kohen Gadol, they're all Kehanim Gedolim. Why is he the only one? So what do you suggest?
80 years.
He was the longest standing Kohen Gadol. 80 years. You have to figure how old must have he been?
From above 120.
Why 120?
If he stopped young 20.
What age do you have to start to be a Kohen Gadol?
30.
That's a Levi.
Levi. 30 to 50, but
Kohen. Huh? Ooh, how do you know 20?
The Torah I mentioned. No?
Very good. So the Gemara in Menachos actually says that as soon as the Kohen is a Gadol, okay, as soon as he shows signs that he's of maturity, basically around 13 years old, he is allowed to be a Kohen Gadol. However, either by rule or just by acceptance, they never allowed a Kohen Gadol to become Kohen Gadol until he was 20 years old. So if he served for 80 years, that means he was at least 100 years old. Now the sad thing about Yochanan Kohen Gadol, that according to one opinion, in the end, he became a Tzaduki. It is unbelievable. It is unbelievable. This is a Gemara in Brachos. I'll tell you the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says, talks about someone who says the bracha in Avlam Alshinim. In the days of the Tzedukim, they had a special bracha with Shmuel HaKotan himself. They asked Shmuel HaKotan to formulate this bracha against the Lam Alshinim, against those who went against the Jews, and who sometimes you couldn't even tell who they were because they were rebellious Jews themselves. They were Tzedukim. And sometimes they couldn't tell, you know, so someone comes into a shul and says, could I daven for the yamid? You know, I have a yard site. That's funny, you just had yard site yesterday. Yeah, today again. But then they would ask the daven, and you would have to know, sometimes they would try to skip the Lam Alshinim, because it was a bracha against them. Anyone who tries to Lam Alshinim, the halacha was, you take him away right away. So the Gemara says that one time, Shmuel HaKotan himself went up to daven, and he made a mistake, and they didn't take him down. They made a mistake. He waited before he started that bracha. Well, he started and he stopped, and they didn't take him down. And Gemara says, "How could you not take him down?" So the Gemara says, "Because Shaini Shmuel HaKotan, because he himself made that bracha. He himself was the one who made the words for that bracha. Of course, we don't have to suspect he is." He would not say that bracha. The Gemara says, really? You don't have to suspect that maybe somebody changes? Maybe someone goes sour? Someone was righteous and then he becomes a wicked person? And the Gemara, in order to prove that, says, didn't we learn, it's a Mishnah in Avos, brought here in the Gemara in Chavtes and Brachos, a person should never be too confident in himself. He can never be too believing in himself that things will for sure be okay and he'll never stop being righteous ad yom mosch, until his dying day. Sha'arei Yochanan Kohen Gadol shimesh b'kuna gedoyla shmoinim shana. For 80 years Yochanan was a Kohen Gadol ula b'seif na'aset tzeduki. Abaye says hu Yanai hu Yochanan, that Yanai who became a king, he is the same thing as Yochanan. Yanai in Greek is Yochanan. And Yochanan, when he became this Saduki, changed his name and took on the Greek name of Yanai. And the Gemara in Kedushin and Daf Samach Vava Meralev tells about a whole story. He went to war one time and he came back and he put on the big day kahuna and he made a whole feast. And someone started telling him bad things about what the Chacham, what the sages think of him. And he took the sages, rounded them up and started killing them out. Well, only a few that were saved, and one of them was his brother-in-law, Shimon ben Shattach, who hid during this time. Crazy story, but that's what happened. According to Abaye, this Yanai is this really this Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who lived for so long, was a Kohen Gadol for so long, but yet at the end, became a Tzaduki. Rava says, no, Yanai Lachud, V'Yochanan Lachud. He says, Yanai and Yochanan were two different people.
How did the king get 110 or something?
Correct. Correct, right? Yeah. We have that's the way we understand it. According to this history, he lived very long, indeed. But what's interesting is that we know about Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Okay, again, there's two opinions whether he became this Saduki at the end, and he became Yanei or not. But certainly, the Gemara takes on that he became a Tzaduki at the end. Therefore, Al Tamen Ba'atzmach Ad Yoim Moisro. A person always has to be vigilant and not let his Yetzara try to creep in and try to convince him otherwise of the Avodah that he's doing. There are many takonis, many things that he legislated in his lifetime that are quoted in the Gemara. So even though he became a Tzaduki at the end, right? He became a Rasha, he became a wicked person at the end. But many of the things that he instituted still are listed in the Gemara. For instance, there's one thing that he abolished those workers in Yerushalayim, those blacksmiths and iron workers who would bang, and they felt that even on the intermediary days on Chol HaMoed, they're allowed to do so because if they would lose the work, they would lose their parnasa, therefore they would be allowed to do it. He instituted no more doing that. Why? Because it made noise. They were banging as people doing work in Yerushalayim. He felt it was a disgrace to the Yom Tov, to the Chag, and therefore he abolished that. Other takonis that he made, and that the Gemara lists. So even though indeed he became a Tzaduki in the end, there were certain things that he instituted, which we still quote La Halacha. We just hear here on the top of the Amen here. He Lefisha Sholach. This was Yochanan Kohen Gadol. He sent out. He dispatched people throughout the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael to find out who gives Meiser, who doesn't give Meiser, and then they would help people in those days. You knew that you can buy Meiser from, you can buy Demai from an Amoretz, and you know Truma Gedolah was given because of things that he did. The real question is, which is a matter of great dispute, is who exactly is this Yochanan Kohen Gadol? From the Rambam in his Pirush Mishnayos to Seder Zeroim, where he gives a list of history and people, he says very clearly that this Yochanan Kohen Gadol is the son of Matisyahu Kohen Gadol of the story of Chanukah. And he would be the one, he composed Al Anisim. And even though it's Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he had a father Yochanan and he had a son Yochanan. Others want to say that no, this is actually Yochanan Kohen Gadol we're talking about here is the father of Matisyahu. And yet there's a third opinion that says Matisyahu had a son, Shimon, right? He had Yehuda and Elazar and Shimon. And Shimon's son was Yochanan Kohen Gadol. And that's the Yochanan Kohen Gadol that it is. So it's not clear. And even in the Rambam himself, it seems to indicate two different things. To conclude about Yochanan Kohen Gadol, what's interesting is Ramesha, that Tzar Ramesha Feinstein has a tshuva where he was asked. He says, there's a particular Jewish singer. It's in the Chelek Eben Ezer, Chelek Aleph, Simen Sadivav. He says, there was a Jewish singer who composed many beautiful songs. And it became common to sing these songs at the Shabbos table, at the weddings, at Chasanus. And later in life, this person, this singer, started making concerts that were so not acceptable, not so kosher. And it was the question was posed to Ramosha, is that are we still now allowed to sing his songs? Or maybe now that he's not an upstanding individual in the community, maybe we can't sing his songs anymore. So Rabbi Yochanan marshals Rabbi Yochanan. Ramesha at Sal marshals as a proof to this from Yochanan Kohen Gadol. He says, listen, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he became a Tzaduki. Right? In those days you couldn't be worse than a Tzaduki. And yet we list his takonis and we say they're Torah, and it's so therefore the Nagunim, the songs he made up beforehand, you certainly could sing them. There's no problem with singing them. That's Ramesh's proof from over here.
Rav Meir was learning from Ishmael.
Okay. Very good. Elisha ben Avuya. We have a teaching from Elisha ben Avuya also in Masechtas Avos. There's only one teaching from over there. But indeed, that Ramesha brings that as a proof as well. Let me tell you something very also very interesting, because we've been talking about there are two times we separate the Kayin 7 days before his work. One is before Yom Akipurim, and what's the second time? The Para Aduma, right? So here there's a Mishnah in Perek Gimel in Masechtas Para. Talks about Para Aduma. Shiva Asiyam and Kaidim Laserv as Hapara, 7 days before the Para Aduma. Mafrishin Kayan, I serve as a Varim Bebesai. You separate him for 7 days. He gets ready. He goes to Alishka Alpine Abira, opposite Harazesim, where is where they shech the Para Aduma and they burn the Para Aduma and the ashes. Fine. The Mishnah then talks about the Para Aduma, and in Perek Gimel here, Mishneh Hey, it says, Umi Asom, who made the Para Adumas? Who were the ones who actually shechted the Para Aduma and made ashes of the Para Aduma? So the Mishnah says like this, Harishayna Asa Moshe, Hashniya Asa Ezra.
Ezra?
Ezra made this, it means the ashes lasted from Moshe all the way through till the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. And Ezra, by the when he came back to the Beis HaMikdash in the second Beis Temple, he made the second. And then there were either five or seven more from Ezra and on. Rameir says five, and the Chacham say there were seven. And we'll see, there's no machlekes really. Who made these remaining either five or seven? Shimon HaTzadik, the Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Asu Shtayim Shtayim. They made two. So if you say it's two, right, each one made two, so we'll see there'll be a total of seven. And Rameir says, no, they really made one, and the first one became possible, became invalid to you, so they had to make another one. So don't say there were another a total of seven, there were a total of five, it's just they had to have it redone because they became possible. Okay. Who made the other ones? El Yehoinai Ben Hakuf. Another person, Vachanam ala Mitzri, these are Kayanim Gedolim, Vishmael ben, it says here, Pavi. That's Arna Gemara. Yishmael ben Pavi. So here you have in the Gemaras that we list here, Shimon HaTzadik, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Yishmael ben Pavi, the Mishnah lists here, each one of them made a Para Aduma in their day.
Three Para Aduma?
They made each.
Second temple was three. They slaughtered three times
Para Aduma. In the second temple? Yeah. More than that. More than that. Either five or seven. That's the Machlaikis here. So everyone agrees it was seven. The question is, it is seven new ones.
One is Rasul Fair, and then.
He said
no.
Five or seven in the
Moshe, then Ezra, and after Ezra, which is the whole second Beis Hamikdash. Either five or seven. Yeah. 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 The Rambam writes, there is he had Moshe and Ezra, that's two, another seven is nine. The Rambam writes that who will make the final one? Mashiach will make the tenth one. That's the Rambam writes in the Hilchot Para Aduma. So, that's the, that is the history of these Kohanim over here that are mentioned here as the second Beis Hamikdash. Ah, now. Yeah, okay, we'll see, this is the next Gemara is talking about why Shiloh is destroyed. But let's just remain with we'll end with this question that we presented last week. The Gemara says here that in 279 years of the second Beis HaMikdash, this minus the 141 where we had righteous Kohanim Gedolim, there were a total of 300 Kohanim Gedolim, right? And that the Gemara had said before, you see that they came so quickly, that's why it's called Lishkas Parhedrin, because every time a new Kohen came in, he redid the room, and therefore it was like the Parhedrin, so also it was like a revolving door of the new ones coming in and rebuilding the room. So the Gemara just says that they didn't live out their year. It doesn't say they died in Yom Kippurim, right? It doesn't say that. And then we have this this idea that it seems to be a very popular, known idea that Jews have heard is that the Kohen Gadol, when he would enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when he went enter into the Holy of Holies Yom Kippurim, they would tie a rope around his leg, around his waist, before he would enter in. Why? Because if he died, presumably no one else is allowed to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And how are you going to get him out? So you have a rope, you yank him out. Right? So it's a very interesting. So we challenged everyone, where is the source for such a thing? So in Chumash,
no,
you don't find it. In Tanakh, no. The Mishnah?
So it's only from here. No.
The Gemara says here that they had a rope.
Because it has 300 and something.
It says they all died. No one didn't say they died in Yom Kippurim. It doesn't say there's a rope. There's nowhere in the Mishnah. There's nowhere in the Gemara. There's nowhere in the Medrash that such a thing ever happened. The only source, and this is the source that I had heard years ago, and I found it today where it is. The only source for such a thing, and we see it's not so simple, because it seems like we have proofs against this. The only source is found in the Zohar. There are two places in the Zohar, one in Parshas Acharei Mois, and one in Parshas Emor. In Parshas Acharei Mois, indeed it does say that when the Kohen Gadol would go to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it says that all his fellow Kohanim and the Levim would stand around. They would give him a bracha, that he should go in with peace and come out peacefully. And then they would all start davening for him. And then, v'kitra d'dahava zakva b'ragli. That's translated from the Aramaic is that a golden chain they would put around his leg. And presumably that would be that in case he would die, they would pull him out. Right? That's what it seems like. So there's a few problems with that. What's some of the problems? Huh? Very good. So one problem is the chain can be mekabel tumah, and then it can make other things tumah. So that's one issue. Another issue is, you remember we mentioned when we talked about the Kohen Gadol wearing kalayim, that he's not allowed to have any additional clothing on him. The Rambam says b'chayim misa, if he wears additional clothing, right? So this is maybe something additional. Another problem is he'd be a chatzitza between, you know, if it goes in between his skin and the clothing that he's wearing. It could be a chatzitza, it could be a separation between that. That's another problem. But another issue seems to be, there's a Gemara on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis in Yuma, which we'll get to, Bezer Hashem, that it says that when the Kohen Gadol would be finished in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would say a very short tefillah. Tfila Kitzara. We said this on Yom Kippurim Davening. We mentioned this fact. Yeah. So the Gemara says like this: Tana Rabbanan, Ma'ase b'Kohen Gadol Echad. There was a story with the Kohen Gadol once. Sheherech b'Tfilasei, that he was davening for a long time, or longer than what was normal, and the Kohanim started getting nervous about him. V'nim nuacha began likonis acharav, so they started going in after him to find out what's happening. They started going in and he started coming out. Just at that time he came in. So they said to him, Amrloi, Mimne Maharachd Mitvilaska. Well, what are you davening so long? We get nervous about you. Amalem, he says, Koshabay Nechem Shispalalti Alechem Bal Bisamidishala Yecharav. What's the problem? You're so worried that I'm davening a long time for all of us and you and the Beis Hamikdash shouldn't be destroyed. What are you so nervous about? Amrulay, they said, no, Alti Rogalasis came. Don't get used to doing such a thing. Why? Because Shereshanina, we learned, Layara Marbit Filosa, you don't daven a long tefillah then. Kadesh Lelahavis is Yisrael. So the Jews shouldn't become afraid. They shouldn't become frightened. Oh, something happened to the Kohen Gadol. But it sounds like what happened over here?
They thought he died.
And what did they start doing? They started going in to meet him. Well, what's the problem? Just take the rope and start yanking.
But they can go inside.
It says they started going inside. You know, they would have called from inside. Hey, what? Meanwhile, they have a rope. Pull the rope. Hey, you don't say it's a proof against it, but there's certainly, it would be indicative from this Gemara it would seem like from this Gemara that there's no mention, certainly again, there's no mention of this rope anywhere. Not in the Bavli, not in the Yerushalmi, not in the Medrash. The only source is the Zohar. So either you say, the Zohar says it, and the Gemara didn't mention it. This Gemara maybe seems a bit problematic. One teretz that you want to say is that the Tosfos Yeshanim says that this Maisa happened with who? Shimon HaTzadik. So if you say Shimon HaTzadik, well, he was a righteous person, they didn't put the rope on him because they were nervous about him, they only put the rope on the Tzedukim. Maybe, there's another Gemara we'll see that says that they once heard a scream from inside, and they said, "Oi, a malach came down and must have slapped the Kohen Gadol," and they went in and they found him dead. What happened? What happened to the rope? Again, no indication that there was a rope. So either again, the Bavli, the Nigla, the revealed part of Torah decided not to make any mention if indeed this happened, and only the secrets of Torah revealed it, the Zayar. Or perhaps you'll have to understand, this assumption just suggests, you'll have to understand that the whole idea that the Zayar is saying of the tying the rope, which was golding, is more in an allegorical sense. To keep the Kohen Gadol sort of, don't get carried away over there. And keep yourself connected to reality, to us back over here who you're representing. And maybe that's really what the Zohar was meaning to say with the rope. Because the Zohar doesn't say explicitly that they had a rope to pull them out. Just that they tied a rope around them, maybe it can be understood allegorically. But at least this gives us a little bit of a history between Mikdash Rishon, Mikdash Sheni, and the Kohanim Gedolim that served during these two periods.